The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You know, I feel like this show needs better theme music. I listen to the 205 Live review. I always think to myself, we don't have theme music, and we need theme music.
Raw has like theme music. We should make our own.
Nothing I can do about that one. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max 205 Live and Mixed Match. Oh, wait, I actually have to talk about that, don't I? Okay, fine.
No, we're pretty much just doing a quick synopsis saying how stupid it is and just moving on.
But let's go ahead and introduce us first, and then we'll do our synopsis. How's that sound?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. Joining me, as per usual, the co-hostist with the mostest, Miss Liz Puglisi.
Hello.
And the monster to my Michael, Brandon Biskabing.
You're probably going to kill me for this, but I actually do not get that one.
Oh my god, me either.
You Space Jam hating sumbitch.
Oh, okay, now I get it. Okay, sorry. Haven't seen that movie in, like 15 years, probably.
I've never seen it.
Somebody needs a movie night and stat.
I've never seen it, and I have no desire or plans to ever see it.
Liz, you're off the show tonight.
You know, if I hung up, it would be really funny.
I don't have an end call button over here, or I would let you go myself. Man, my producer on the Raw Reaction used to do that stuff to me all the time. Used to mute my microphone on me.
Unfortunately, I only have one channel for both of you, so I can't mute you individually.
Well, you can go mute yourself, Brandon. How's that? I can't believe neither of you got my Monstars joke. I was proud of that one.
I haven't seen that movie in so long that I completely forgot about that.
I'm hurt.
If you had said, like, MJ or Michael Jordan or something instead of just Michael, I would have gotten it.
I still wouldn't have gotten it.
This is the kind of professional stuff you get with this podcast, everybody.
And this has already gone off the rails. So Mixed Match Challenge was a thing
that happened that Charlotte and Bobby Roode advanced when Becky Lynch pinned Sasha Banks. Wait, what did I just say?
You got it right. It doesn't make any sense, but you were right.
To be fair, no part of this goddamn tournament makes any sense.
Nope.
Well, okay, let's discuss it for 1 second. Supposedly, she really had a reason to be pulled, and she was pulled from SmackDown.
Charlotte had a dental issue. She had surgery because of an infection.
Sure, yes. Great. So...
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, she had an infection that just happened to come up. Sure, whatever. So, did they keep her off because they realized their mistake, or what?
You see, you would think that if this was intentional, they would have done it before the finale rather than here because of the whole, now it's going to be Charlotte versus Asuka for the first time ever on Mixed Match Challenge of all things before
several
WrestleMania.
Days before Mania.
5 days before WrestleMania. Way to book that one, morons.
Well, this whole thing was just stupid from the beginning.
Before we move on, at least we didn't have to suffer through the Charlotte fangirling over a married man.
Very true.
Yeah, but I still have to watch Sasha Banks again, and I don't approve of that.
For that reason alone, I'm actually kind of hoping that Becky takes her spot next week.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, not to mention we got more stupidity in this match with, you know, I mean, I only have paid attention to this match, so I'm not even trying to figure it out. Sasha was attacking Rude, and then the stupidest move was when Balor had Rude down in perfect position for the coup de grace and then proceeds to tag in Sasha Banks, which completely null and voids that all of that work he just did.
Well, theoretically, Sasha wanted to hit the coup de grace herself, which actually does kind of tie into her character.
But it doesn't work because by tagging her in, it forces the switch Becky. To...
I didn't Becky. Say it made sense.
Okay, I apologize. I forced us to talk about this far too long.
I just wanted to say that because as soon as I saw it happen, I was like, yeah, oh my god, I have to mention the stupidity of this.
I can't say that I saw it because I turned it on at the end so I know one so that we could discuss it.
I mean, I was only half paying attention, but yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes of why we're actually here for this later half of our doubleheader. Let's talk about the 205 Live show from last night, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Our opening contest scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
And one guest commentator. I'm waiting.
No, not doing it.
Liz, no?
But one guest commentator.
Yay! I'll take that. That works. I'll count that as a win.
You actually got that's her to Tony do it Nese. For once.
That's Tony Nese takes on Mark Andrews. And apparently the stakes of this match is that the winner gets to try to get revenge on Drew Gulak. Well, I mean, I guess if there is a reason to fight, if it wasn't for a title, it would be to get into the ring with the greatness that is Gulak.
Who wouldn't want him?
Exactly. He is the Rusev of 205 Live. You're laughing. We're not kidding.
Oh, I know this, but it's still funny.
Very good big man versus little man formula here. Oh. And I got to say that the thing about Mark Andrews' moveset is despite how flashy and superfluous it comes off, none of it really looks like it would be out of place with him hitting it on a bigger guy. Him countering out of the suplex into Stun Dog Millionaire. Him being able to hit the Stomp 182 on Tony Nese. Him being able to pull off the Hurricane Ranas with the momentum and stuff that he was having. The 619 to the midsection I thought was a really nice touch as well. Mm-hmm. Andrews is able to work with bigger competitors really well for a guy of his size, and I think that that's something that could benefit him on 205 Live and would be a reason to keep him around if anything were to happen in the cruiserweight division. You could keep him around and put him in NXT or on the main roster as kind of like that plucky underdog babyface, similar to the vein of how Spike Dudley used to be.
Well, let me bring up something in the rumor mill that kind of begs the question of what's going to happen with him. He seems to be making a mark in 205 Live and seems to be sticking around in 205 Live post-tournament. But does, you know, what happens if the you know, not going to say it's going to happen until it actually happens, not, you know, not, I'll believe it when I see it, but, you know, apparently the talks have ramped up again about getting a UK show.
I will believe the UKCT thing is happening once the UKCT thing happens.
Oh, I completely agree with that. But if it does happen, just playing devil's advocate here, does he go there or does he stay on 205?
I think it depends on how they're going to do the taping schedule for the UK television show. If they're only going to tape it like once every couple of weeks and then air the shows afterwards, you could still have him appearing on the episodes of 205 Live where he's not needed overseas for the tapings.
That is very true. Kind of like what Roddy was doing with 205 and NXT.
Liz, your thoughts on this? Do you think Mandrew sticks around?
I think so. I enjoyed the match. I haven't really seen too much of him. I didn't watch the tournament. I really have to go back and watch that, I know. But I based on his work in the ring last night, I would like him to stick around. I enjoyed it.
I'm assuming when you say you didn't watch much of the tournament, you're referring to the original Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, I thought she meant the UK tournament.
Well, both, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, both. I didn't say either one of them. The only tournament I saw was the tournament for this show. any of the tournaments, just assume I have not seen it.
The only tournament
that I hasn't watched the Young Classic either.
Ugh, no.
That's the only one that I haven't watched fully.
Although, to be fair, at least it's not named after Mula.
Oh, God, enough. We know.
We know, Harry. It's over.
And no, at the end of the match, we get to see more Drew.
It'll never be over. All right, let's move on. Otherwise, Mandrews does pick up the win with the Shooting Star Press. And we announced that it will be Mandrews versus Drew Gulak, as made by our guest commentator, Drake Maverick, at ringside next week here on 205 Live on the go home to WrestleMania for 205 Live. Although, I'm not sure this is going to end well with 205 Live having to have a go home after SmackDown go home.
Why?
That arena is going to be empty.
Not necessarily. Not if they do something for like the title match. If they have some
they would need to do some kind of super spiffy dark match to keep them around.
Wait, but why would they leave? If they know 205 is taped, why are you assuming they're going to leave just because it's the go home to WrestleMania?
Well, the reason I'm saying that, Liz, is because they're going to be so exhausted from the go home SmackDown that they're probably not going to want to stick around for 205.
But why are they going to be more exhausted for this show than any other show? It's the same amount of time. It's going to be that great? I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
It's going to be that great that it's going to exhaust them? Is Undertaker going to appear on SmackDown to accept the challenge and not on Raw?
If he shows up on SmackDown, it kind of makes Cena look like an asshole, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that, too.
He might be like, oh, yeah, like, why the why? Couldn't make it yesterday, but...
Yeah, I kind of agree with Michelle, Liz on that, though.
Michelle had something. I came tonight. It is a Drew Gulak promo immediately following this particular match, and Gulak talks about the fact that he's on 205 Live in order to make people realize that he is the best submission specialist in the WWE right now. He says that not only did he go out there to beat Tony Nese, Mark Andrews, and Mustafa Ali, even though the Ali one didn't work out so well for him. He went out there to make a statement against them. If you step up, you will tap out. You know, we've gotten this kind of storyline before from people on SmackDown, from both the main shows as well as here on 205 Live, about people claiming to be the superior specialist when it comes to a certain particular kind of wrestling here. The thing about this one that makes it kind of ring more true to me, and this is despite my obvious fandom for Gulak, because it is what it is there, he may have a legitimate claim to being the best submission wrestler in the division. Brandon, is there anybody you think that's up there on the same level as a Gulak?
Not currently. The only person that I would potentially put on that category, well, there's two that I would have put up on that category, like, you know, probably a year ago, is TJP and Gallagher.
Liz, your thoughts on what Gulak had to say here?
Yeah, fangirliness aside, you know, I have to agree with both of you. I agree with the people that Brandon just put out. But in terms of it, no, I think it actually works for him. I think it you know, takes the cockiness he had and switches it up a little bit. But, you know, we'll see. I like it so far.
Can I throw out another name that I think he could feud with coming out of this, Brandon?
Sure.
Roderick Strong.
Well, we'll see what happens with that if he does, you know, fully come up. Because I feel like, especially with how big he's been on NXT, before they fully call him up to 205, I feel like they're going to do something with him a la Johnny Gargano.
It's entirely possible that they may do some kind of NXT write-off for Roderick. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised to see him splitting time between NXT and 205.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see on that, since we still haven't seen him on 205 following the tournament.
That is true, we have not. A sit-down interview backstage occurs next as Drake Maverick sits between Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali. we're friends, but I'm going to beat you. I'm going to beat you. It's every babyface promo you've seen for the last 10 years.
Well, I mean, they had a little more of an edge on this than I was expecting. You know, I was expecting it to be a lot like that, which I would have been perfectly fine with. I kind of like seeing the, you know, I like seeing the feuds that, you know, for especially when it's for a title where it's just like two guys just trying to get the title. You know, you don't need a big storyline behind it. But at the same time, with how intense they were getting, and I know this is just, you know, the, you know, wrestling smark in me, you know, kind of anticipating things, but did either of you half expect one of them to just turn that table over on its side and just look square in the eye of the other?
There'll be plenty of time for table flipping on the go home, Brandon.
I know this. That's why I say it. I have a feeling that they'll do something like that to keep fans at the show for 205.
I got it. It'll be a contract signing.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Those always end well.
Oh, Lord. I mean, come on. It's WWE's go-to.
I stand by what I said earlier. I think that the big turn after coming out of this match is going to be after the match happens at WrestleMania, not before.
I agree with that. The funniest thing to me about all those contract signings is the fact that apparently they actually have those contracts in the warehouse.
Now I'm going to go on YouTube and look for an episode of WWE Warehouse. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Our main event is a four-way scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
As Kalisto, TJP, Akira Tozawa, and Buddy Murphy compete in this match, with the winner being rumored to be getting a future Cruiserweight title shot. Brandon?
Yes.
I'm not one to say I told you so, but...
Yeah, I know.
Who did I pick to win this match last week? I don't remember.
Did you pick Buddy?
I 100% did.
Yeah, I'm just as shocked as I think the majority of the fan base is. But then again, I shouldn't really be all that surprised because this is 205's MO lately. Well, pretty much for its entire existence.
Well, a lot of it has to do with you build up the new guy. You build up the new guy. You build up the new guy. Murphy is the newest of these four guys to the Cruiserweight, the 205 Live audience. Kalisto and Akira Tozawa, like we talked about on the show last week, Brandon, already have their built-in feud going.
Which I'm surprised and a little disappointed that they didn't play that up and have them go brawl. A little bit, but not nearly as much as I was expecting. They kind of just did it at the end.
The spot at the end was all you really needed there, is the fact that they still had heat with each other, but they knew that in order for the better of both of them involved in this match here, they had to put their differences aside and break up TJP's knee bar on Murphy.
That's true.
I will say this much, the selling in this match was damn near non-existent. Because Murphy went from being in TJP's knee bar for about 30 seconds to hitting a tornado dive to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway... Liz, what were your thoughts on this contest here? How do you think Buddy Murphy's fitting in with the 205 Live roster?
You know, I know you expect me to complain that it was a fatal four-way, but I loved the match. I did. I really enjoyed the match. For me, it was... I know this is shocking. It goes against everything I ever say, but it was probably my favorite match of the week. I enjoyed the action. I enjoyed, you know, the different moves. I mean, he's doing it right. I mean, I don't know if they're setting up for, you know, somebody to turn heel there, or they're loosening up their little formula. But, you know, good for him. We'll see what happens. But I really enjoyed it. I think Wolf did really well.
I'm disappointed we didn't get a weigh-in prior to this.
Yeah. Well, they talked about the weigh-in, but they didn't actually show it.
And can I just say, oh my god, can pigs fly now because Liz actually praised the multi-man match?
I know, right? I was thinking that last night, and I actually went back and rewatched it, you know, earlier when I knew we were actually going to record today, or somebody was going to record today. But no, I still enjoy it. It's not that I actually hate them. I don't hate all the matches. I just think they're completely overdone. Like every time you blink, it's like a triple threat or a fatal four way or, you know, 16 men in the ring. All right, we get it. Just cramming everybody that you possibly can on. I think they're overdone. But this one was really good. It was probably the best one in a while.
Go home episode of Raw needs a match with 16 men in the ring. I'm just saying. If only because it would pop me, and frankly, that's all I needed to do. Because I could see Liz sitting there watching, going, "What the fuck is this?"
They listen to me. They hate me. They really hate me.
I want a new wrestling company for Christmas, Santa.
Four. What is it like? Four teams of four. What would they call that?
No, it would be two teams of eight.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you should be hating it even more because it's getting so bad that it's even seeping into a company that no one thought would ever get multi-man matches.
Meh. She doesn't watch, and I'm so far behind at this point.
No, you saw that match.
Are you referring to the junior heavyweight title match?
Yes, I am.
I think I actually probably preferred this four-way to that one.
Really?
Even though the crowd was definitely more invested in the one at Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, of course.
But I think that if you can get people to the point where they care about these cruiserweights more, and you're not just throwing them out there to die, then you'll have the kind of investment and the kind of matches put forth here. The ring work more than justifies what they're doing with them. It's just that nobody cares.
I think the bigger issue, and we talked about this, I think I actually talked about this on the Raw review last week, and people are going to hate me for saying this like they hated me for saying it on Monday. But especially now with, you know, Triple H being in control of it and it becoming much more like the Cruiserweight Classic, 205 Live is going to be a tale of two regions or a tale of two types of markets. If they're in a big market that is a smart city, like a New York, like a Philly, like a Chicago, like a Boston, you're going to have fans staying and actually paying attention to this. But if you're in, you know, random bumble you know what town, that it's mostly casual fans going to the show, you're not going to have that sort of retention of the crowd and the sort of atmosphere that you need for 205.
I don't see how people would disagree with that. I completely agree with that assessment. I think it's spot on. I think the smarkier cities, the smarter fan cities, are much more inclined to be following these guys rather than your traditional cities where it's nobody cares about anybody but the main event talent.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that at all. You know what I like about 205 Live is that it's really easy to discuss, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, two matches in an interview segment, and we're done here.
Yep.
Overall show rating, Brandon, where do you fall?
I'm going to give this – I'll give it an 8.5. You know, I know they were a little condensed on time because, you know, they were having the fatal four-way and they wanted to give that time. But, you know, maybe I would have liked to have seen one more match, get a few more guys on the show. But, you know, the Mark Andrews versus Tony Nese match was spectacular. And, you know, them just showing, you know, I've talked about it before. I love that dichotomy that you get in some of these matches on 205 of the, you know, more ground-based guy against the very high-flying guy. And they really told a great story in the ring. And then in the Fatal 4-Way, it was a good match. I liked it a lot. For once, you know, we talk about how everything's so predictable nowadays. I know that you called this, but, you know, Buddy Murphy probably would have been my second choice just because of the whole thing between Tozawa and Kalisto. But it's still a bit of a shock that, you know, at least to me, that Buddy Murphy got the win and is getting a title shot this quickly after being put on 205. But, you know, and then I would have liked to have seen a little bit more back and forth between Tozawa and Kalisto. But we did get it towards the end, so I'm okay with that. And just overall, a solid show.
Liz?
Yeah, it was really good. You know, really held your attention. The opening match was stellar. I really enjoyed the fatal four way. You did get a bit more personal between Kalisto and Tozawa there, but you know, overall it was really, really good. The face to face for me was, you know, it was okay. They could have delivered their lines a little better, but you know, it was a different thing for them. So, you know, I'll give them that. They'll improve. I think definitely those two will definitely improve on the mic. But it was a really, really stellar show for me.
I was a little disappointed by the backstage segment between Ali and Cedric there. I didn't think that it hit as well as other people did besides me.
No,
so
I didn't. Yeah, I know we talk over you, but I feel the same way. It was very, you know, eh.
That being said, though, I think that there's going to be plenty of time here, and if they get the time in the match there, that it's not going to matter what kind of segments they had going into WrestleMania. All that people are going to care about is the product that they're going to put on at WrestleMania. And in my opinion, Mustafa and Cedric are going to kill it at Mania.
I mean, honestly, this, at least in terms of the way, you know, a lot of fans want stuff being booked, especially in title matches, you're basically going to have three matches, more or less, that are just purely going to be who is the better competitor. There isn't really any big storyline or any big rivalry going into it.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like seeing that where, you know, you don't always need to have a heel-face alignment.
Yeah, I've said that before, and I completely agree.
I think we're going to get some heel face alignments coming out of it. I stand by the statement that I made when we did our predictions a couple of weeks ago towards the end of the tournament. I think Mustafa's going to beat Cedric, and Cedric's going to beat his ass after the match, or at the very least on the very next episode of 205.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But that's the thing. You can do it where it's post-match. You know, that I'm perfectly fine with them deciding to turn someone post-match, but go into it just as a competition.
To finish up with my thoughts, though, on the rest of the show, however, the two matches that we got, though, were both very entertaining. I was entertained by the four-way, and I really liked Andrews and Tony Nese there because you had that effect of big guy versus small guy, high flyer versus ground wrestler that Brandon was talking about in his involvement there. I'm going to give the show an 8. One-word review, Brandon. What do you got for me?
I'll say rivalries. You know, you kind of started, you know, this progression of the rivalry between Mark Andrews and Drew Gulak, and we'll see where that goes. You obviously got the promo between Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali, and then while you didn't get a ton in the match, you did get some more of the Akira Tozawa versus Kalisto, and that whole, you know, assuming that they're going to be those teams are going to be two of the front runners for the tag titles once they're created.
Liz?
Yeah, I'm actually going to give it an 8 as well. I can just repeat myself and say I really enjoyed it. That it was just, you know, a stellar show. You know, I'm not just going to repeat everything, you know, Brandon said. That's boring, but I do agree with the majority of it, and I'll leave it there. For a one-word review, I would have to say I can't think of one. But I mean, but I can't think of one. But what I want to say is, I think progressive.
Speechless.
Progression. No, progression. Progression is the word I was looking for, actually.
Her one word is speechless.
Yes, exactly. I was. I couldn't think of the word progression. How horrible.
There we go.
I'm going to go with frenetic. Because they kept a very fast pace up. And despite the fact that the crowd, generally speaking, wasn't all that active, by the time the matches got going, the Andrews and Nice match, and then especially the four-way there, they definitely have that crowd invested in the match, those that were choosing to pay attention to the match, at least.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting, because I don't think they've really been in really any really big cities since Triple H took over, have they?
I almost feel like they might be better off moving SmackDown to 9 to 11 and doing 205 Live on the network from 8 to 9.
That could work, but at the same time, then you run the risk of the fans who don't care not showing up until 9.
That's true, too. Either way, I think 205 Live gets the shaft from the vast majority of the audience, because there's a lot of really good talent there that's not getting the attention it nearly deserves.
Because I'm sure, like, there's a bunch of fans, a bunch of more casual fans who don't show up even for, like, a WrestleMania. I'm sure they don't show up until, like, the main card is about to start.
It's also, too, it's not only that. I mean, other people go. It's also the process of getting in. I mean, that can start to back up really easily, and they're starting, you know, because I think it happened last year, right? People were complaining, like, it was taking, my friend went last year, she's like, they were there early, it took forever to get in.
Well, yeah, it was dead for the Neville-Aries match, because, like, more than three quarters of the stadium was empty, because people hadn't gotten in yet.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel there's more that you can do with it, but I'm willing to give them the opportunity to do so. We keep getting good shows on the road to WrestleMania. A lot of, to me, the follow-up will be, what will they do with the show once they crown their champion at WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you're interested in anything in the world of sports, wrestling, video games, soccer, football, entertainment, and so much more, you can check out the Wrestling to the Max's online presence at w2mnet.com. In addition, you can also find us on Facebook by searching for Wrestling to the Max, although that might be undergoing a brand change here shortly. Details to that when it happens. For the co-hostess with the mostest, Liz Puglisi. I almost said Brandon's name there. Liz is giggling again. I can hear her. The monster of your heart, Brandon Biscobing. I'm Harry Broadhurst, thanking you for listening to the Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Live, and God Jesus. I'm all thrown off now by my screw up. Thank you all for listening to the Wrestling to the Max 205 Live and Mixed Match Challenge Review. All right, I'm done. I'm going home. See you guys next week.